It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
Several years ago, my husband gave me a most wonderful Valentine card. Lying appropriately enough on the kitchen counter, the plain white envelope contained a card that made me laugh out loud upon opening. A photo of two extra-large, extra-red ripe strawberries were artfully posed, with seedy eyes fixed upon each other and pointed fruity ends locked in a passionate kiss. The message inside read, "I love you very much." I still love the card and the giver very much because it has prompted me to revisit a strawberry story on this banner year of the strawberry at our place. Despite, or perhaps because of our recent record-setting blizzard, I've put up dozens of jars of strawberry jam, frozen lots of strawberry ice cream, and fixed countless strawberry shortcakes. So today I decided to begin at the beginning and find out how long these favorite fruits of many have been around and just where they came from. Seems strawberries can be traced back to ancient Rome, where they were lavished upon emperors and orgies. During early medieval times, the berry and its foliage was often used as a medicinal, thought to cure indigestion and gout. However, it fell out of favor when the suspicious and unforgiving minds of the Middle Ages decided that because the fruit grew close to the ground, it was therefore contaminated and should be avoided. It eventually gained good favor, probably because of its delicious taste and the fact that its supply of vitamin C helped to ward off sickness, thus dispelling fears of it being unclean. In fact, medieval stonemasons often carved a strawberry motif into many church altars and columns. Until the middle of the 17th century, strawberries were gathered from the wild through Europe and the Americas. Early settlers in Massachusetts were introduced to the berries by Native Americans, who began cultivating them as early as 1643. Strawberry patches had become a part of many gardens by the 1800s, but the modern larger strawberry was not produced commercially until a fateful cross between two strains of the fruit occurred in France. A plant breeder combined the qualities of the wild Fraise des Bois with plants from Virginia and Chile to produce the forerunner of our deep red supermarket giants. Prior to this event, some strawberries were pale pink or cream-colored, and the wild alpine berry, though packing an intense flavor, was tiny and time-consuming to harvest. The strawberry is native to all continents except Africa, and about 80% of the strawberries produced today in the U.S. come from California. There are several theories on the naming of the strawberry. The most obvious one might come from the fact that straw has often been used to mulch around the plants, producing a mat that would protect the fruit from mud and excess moisture on the ground. This explanation goes hand in hand with the earlier theory that strawberries might pick up and conduct diseases from the soil to the grower and eater of the innocent fruits. However, the word strawberry may have derived from many pronunciations in northern European countries, most dealing with the fact that the berry is produced on low runners that are strewn about the parent plant. Early day pronunciations included strewnberry, giving credence to this claim of name. But my personal favorite name game theory has to do with the marketing of strawberries in earlier times. Children would pick tiny wild berries and then thread them on grass or straw stems. They'd take these tasty strings to the open market, where they would be sold as a straw of berries.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.